Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The city of Deadwood has a rich and vibrant history, but there are darker stories to be told as well. This month, you can join in a professional paranormal investigation at the historic Adams House in Deadwood. Joining us now for more is Rose with Deadwood History Incorporated. Welcome, Rose.
Hi, Lori. How are you?
I am doing well. Rose Spears, I should say. Also joining us, Mo Miller. He is with Black Hills Paranormal Investigations. Welcome, Mo.
Thanks. And how are you doing today?
I am doing well. Rose, let's start with you. First of all, Rose and I had the pleasure of finally meeting face-to-face just last weekend or so out at the Festival of Books in Deadwood. So it's nice to make that connection and hear you on the radio once again.
Well, thank you, Lori.
Give me an idea of what this event is for Historic Adams House. What can people expect?
It's just a really fun tour. It's a way to get more people in the house, a broad range of people, a large demographic. Everyone from their 20s on up come to this tour, and it's great exposure for us to show that museums can be a lot of fun.
What should people expect when they come?
They should expect to be part of a paranormal investigation, a 90-minute paranormal investigation. They're going to get very little history about the house, so it's not a traditional tour. But it's a tour of, you know, being a paranormal investigator and what they do and the equipment they use, and then some of the stories that they've found from the investigations when we've brought them into the house to do that type of research for us.
Rose, is this something that you find a lot of visitors or people in Deadwood, especially people maybe who are return or repeat visitors to the house, find particularly intriguing? There's a real call for this, do you think?
There is, because there is that haunted Deadwood allure that people just they're captivated by it. And they want to hear the scary stories and the darker stories of Deadwood, and we're part of that package.
Mo Miller, it's a fun tour, but there's some serious science behind us. Tell us a little bit about Black Hills Paranormal Investigations and what you do as a business.
Okay, certainly. First off, we've been around about 10 years, and contrary to what you see on the TV a lot, we're more of a scientific-based team. Mm-hmm. Meaning we just don't walk in, and you know how sometimes if you're investigating, you walk into a place and you get a weird feeling. That's all fine and dandy, but there's got to be a reason for it. So what we're doing is we're looking for the reasons, and we look for logical reasons first. Once we exhaust all possibilities, then we start scratching our heads insofar as it could it be something more than what you're experiencing. You know what I'm trying to say?
Right, right.
You know, is it too much, for instance, like EMF, are you standing by like a fuse box or something like that, or is it something different that we can't explain?
So let's talk about some of the things that you can explain, not necessarily in the historic Adams House, but in other places you've investigated. What are some of the things that people tend to mistake for the paranormal that have logical explanations?
A lot of times people claim they hear thumps and footsteps and things of that nature, and once we go in, we'll saturate the place with all of our equipment, and also as investigators, we're walking around and crawling into places that people a lot of times don't think about going into. A lot of times footsteps, they could be pipes, it could be air ducts, things like that. People claim to see shadows, and a lot of times with the shadow play, it could be cars going by and things, even from a few blocks away, and people don't seem to think that. They seem to think that you only see the, you know, headlights, for instance, coming in from your front window as the car's coming down the street. But there might be one coming down the road, say, a block away. Hmm. And that's sometimes that causes shadows and things, too.
So you come in with a fresh eye and a healthy dose of skepticism.
Yes, ma'am, we do. We're open-minded skeptics would be the easiest way to describe it.
All right, tell me about your equipment.
We have a whole plethora of equipment. We have various types of EMF detectors.
And what's that? Those, explain what that is.
Those, they detect electromagnetic fields.
Okay.
Like if you're around like an outlet or a microwave, things that give off electricity. And we'll use K2s, regular EMF meters. We've got MEL meters, and nowadays we've employed something called a periscope. They measure static, so that's a little different than your EMF stuff. Mm-hmm. So if there's like a stray static field that, say, comes through the room you're in, it'll light up and alert so we know something, you know, that the static field has been disrupted, and now we have to start digging. Why is the static field disrupted? And Rose can attest to that, actually, because last summer at Adams we had that happening.
We did. It was fantastic stuff.
Tell me a little bit about that, Rose.
Well, just Mo was working on, they had us in two different rooms, and so they actually used the spirit box for this particular thing. And they were asking questions from the parlor to the library, which is a few feet away, but one of the paranormal investigators had earphones on, so he had no idea what they were asking in the other side of the house, mm-hmm. in the library. And it was answering questions, I mean, to the point. It was fascinating.
So you were able to sort of... Go ahead, Mo.
And what made it more fascinating, because like Rose said, as these questions are being answered, our periscope and some of our other equipment was going off at the same time, which kind of leads us to believe that was more than just some kind of normal occurrence or some stray, you know, static or EMF going off.
Sure.
Right, because it was all over lights. Sometimes it'll just do one or two or three of the lights, but it was the full load of lights, so that was really interesting.
So what are you able to determine about this? Is there a takeaway from that particular experience about what's happening at the Adams house?
Yes, and we've been in there, like Rose said, numerous times with the tours, and we've been in there investigating just with our investigative team. What we can say is there is definitely activity at the Adams house. Now, the only question is that we haven't been able to answer quite yet is, who is it? You know, is it somebody from the Adams family or the Franklins? We don't know yet.
Is that something you can ever find out?
You know, that's a hard one, because sometimes we've been on investigations where you get names like Bob or Sam or Melissa or what have you. Many years ago, we were investigating a place in Rapid City, and we got the name Kara. The family was renovating this old house, and they were pulling out the walls, you know, tearing down the drywall, and then there was lath and plaster behind it, you know, mm-hmm. like they did turn of the century. And on one of those, it had the name Kara on it, on one of the pieces of lattice work, if you will.
Okay. It was written
there.
Which
was kind of weird. So, yeah, we were able to tie that in with the house itself, which is really neat. When we can tie a capture in with the history of the location, that's like a gold mine for us. That's like hitting a mother lode almost.
Yeah. What we're talking about now, if you're just tuning in, we've got Rose Spears with Deadwood History and Mo Miller. He's with Black Hills Paranormal Investigations. We're talking about these tours that the historic Adams House is hosting. They're coming up on October 6th and 7th, the 13th and the 14th, and the 20th and the 21st. And that's all happening at the house in Deadwood. You get to go through the tours at different times throughout the evening with your friends and be part of this investigation. That's the story we're telling right now. Rose, are you excited when you find out there's something going on that can't be explained away by what we currently know?
Yes, because Mo can tell you I'm not only a skeptic, I'm a scaredy cat.
Yeah.
So I don't invite it to happen to me.
Right.
But a couple of things have happened when I've been there. I haven't seen the shapes and the shadows or any of that, but I've smelled the perfume. I've smelled the cigar smoke before. I've seen the rocking chair rock on its own, which was, that was interesting. We brought a tour into the library, and it was just rocking when we came in. And I told the other investigator that was with me, Scott, I said, oh, my God, look at the chair. And yeah. It was just great stuff. And you, people get touched, and their hair raises on the end. And some people are scared, but we, you know, it's a very safe environment. But it's just, it's so much fun. It's just a beautiful way for us to share the Adams House.
All right, Mo, let's stipulate that there's definitely activity happening at the Adams House, and then what? How do you work and tour that space, and how do you respond to what you believe that activity is?
Oh, now are you talking as far as with the tours?
No, I'm just talking philosophically. Like, once you find out that something can't be explained, you know, what's next?
Well, then we have to, it's kind of hard to explain. We have to keep trying. We're going to try to dig deeper. We're going to try more experiments and see if we can get whatever is causing this to identify itself.
And how does that, go ahead.
Years ago on the tours, we had some whistles that we captured. We do know that Mr. Adams used to whistle for his help. And that's one of the things, okay, well, we've got a whistle. There's nobody outside. And, of course, nobody on the tours was, you know, everybody was quiet. So we don't know, you know, who that was. We have no explanation. And we've gotten voices there before many, many years ago upstairs in the smoking room of the Adams House during a regular investigation. We got a female screaming fire. We do know, and Rose can attest to this, that there was a fire up in that smoking room many, many, many years ago.
Yep.
Now, was it residual and like we're just picking up like an echo, or is it an intelligent entity, if you will, that's actually trying to communicate with us and tell us what's going on or what happened?
Okay. So when you say you got a scream, do you mean you recorded it, you heard it? What do you mean by got?
No, that one we actually captured on an audio recorder, because sometimes there's two different types of ways when you get like voices. You either capture them on recorders where we don't hear them. They must, and we don't know why. Maybe they're at a frequency like a dog whistle or something. We don't know. Right. And other times there's something called a disembodied voice. That's where like the three of us could be standing in a room right now and we hear like, "Hey, Lori." And we're all looking at each other like, "Who was that?"
So if there is an intelligent entity trying to communicate, what do you do? Because it's all, you know, the further you go, the more questions you're going to get, right, Mo?
that's a fact.
Right.
And we've ran into that so many times. The good news is a lot of times when we go into different locations and investigate, and when we do get evidence, it does sometimes seem like the activity will subside for a while. And we're wondering if that's because whatever may be there, we basically put a face on it and recognized it. Hmm. So it's like, okay, I can hang out. Everybody knows I'm here and everything's fine. Other times, once we've identified activity, it seems to ramp up. Now, like I said, we try to be as scientific as we can. We don't do any kind of banishments or anything like that.
Right.
What we try to do is document and find out what's going on. And what it ends up happening is we're helping the people understand what they're experiencing. That, yes, you're not nuts. You know, weird things are happening. Sometimes they're paranormal. A lot of times they're not, though.
Right. Mm. Are people, in your experience, Mo, more relieved to find out there was a logical explanation, or are they more intrigued to find out that something else might be going on? How do they respond?
It's, you know, it's funny. It's a little bit of both. Sometimes people are very excited when you can show them a logical explanation. You know, like it's a leaky pipe or these branches are banging on the side of your house kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Other times people are, you know, they call us because they're genuinely concerned. And sometimes when things are happening, and we let the property owners come with us. You know, like if it's a house or a business, we don't tell everybody they have to leave. If they want to be there, that's fine. And when they can experience the stuff that they talk about with us, you kind of put a face on it, for a lack of better terms, and then they see that it is not nearly as scary as they think it is.
Right.
It can, and obviously it's very much unnerving if you're not used to doing these kind of things.
Sure.
Once they figure out what's going on, then it becomes more of a novelty almost for some.
Right.
They're like,
yeah.
Oh, I cannot wait to invite my friends over so they can see this stuff happening.
Yeah. So there's a power in naming it and a power in understanding it, even if it's not fully explainable.
Exactly. Yeah. And with that being said, like I mentioned earlier, we've been around for about 10 years. And in all of the investigations we've done, and we've done hundreds of them, we've never ran across anything demonic or anything we would say is evil like you see on the TV all the time.
Sure.
Now, we're either incredibly lucky or that stuff is not nearly as prevalent as everybody likes it to be.
Right. Mm-hmm. Rose, why do you think people are so captivated by the allure of, you know, a haunted Deadwood and spirits or paranormal activity within the house? What's behind that, do you think?
I think it's just that Deadwood has this really old history and a lot of unexplainable history. And we were in a part of the country that we didn't belong. You know, we broke the 1868 treaty by coming into this part of the country, but the country was destitute and people were going to do anything to get here. So it was a lot of desperation, and I just think there's so many stories that go with that and so many layers that there's always going to be a darker or scary side to that.
Mm. And we're not done exploring it necessarily. Mo, do you agree? Do you agree with Rose there that there's you know, something about Deadwood and the history there and the history of injustice or crime there that lingers?
Oh, yes, ma'am. And I think, and this is going to sound really weird, but I think there's almost a stain on the area out here because of all the strife and all the things that went on back then.
Right.
And And history shows us, at least, you know, from our end of it, that a lot of times where there's a lot of sadness and things like that, there's a good chance you're going to get some kind of activity. Now, like I said, we don't know if it's residual, like it's just energy that's stored and it just replays itself once in a while, or is it something that's still around and trying to tell its story?
Mo Miller is with Black Hills Paranormal Investigations. Rose Spears is with the historic Adams House, Deadwood History Incorporated. Thank you so much to both of you. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Lori.
Well, thank you so much.
And again, the paranormal investigation tours of the historic Adams House are on October 6th and 7th, the 13th and 14th, the 20th and the 21st inside the historic Adams House. We'll put a link up on our website after the program so you can find those several interview tour times throughout the month of October.